Everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome once more around the table.
Yes.
With Reckless Attack. I don't know
Spooky
what
edition.
I wanted to give. It's been a little bit since we've recorded. I think we maybe said that last episode too, but it remains true.
Yeah.
It's just been a weird. It's been a weird stretch for everyone, but we're here. And I wanted to give it a little extra pep. Little
pizzazz.
You know, get up and go,
spikes.
Little pizzazz. And I chose Enthusiastic Ghost, I guess, was what I went with. But so it goes. I am, as always, GM Nathan here around the table with these excellent, excellent players. Oh, mine. Starting with a person on my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. And Val was really looking forward to a chill ride home. And then, don't you know it? Magical means of communication can backfire against her. And the player on my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid. And a trusty frog pal, Mango. But maybe Junior soon. Who knows?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I'd say that's probably the best thing, best course of action for sure.
But Checkers is definitely just sitting on the Skystalker as we're flying back to Agmar, silently mourning, perhaps, the loss of his only true friend, Far-Eye Chaturanga Grumble.
The only one who truly understands
yep,
Checkers.
Correct. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin, the Dwarven Sorcerer. And Kaskrin is valiantly fighting off two levels of exhaustion.
Yeah, that's true. You guys would have just gotten out of the deadline, so you are still feeling bad. You've not gotten worse, you just have not recovered.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am once again playing an equally exhausted
Solv Asterlin,
the Dragonborn Monk, who is at this very moment wondering why and how we were able to be contacted by the shepherd via stone.
It's easy, rock.
rock, yes.
Kaskrin knows all the magical properties of rocks, and even he is baffled by
yes,
can't believe it.
I see.
To set the tone for today's episode is a little difficult for me, because it's not a full out of the frying pan into the fire, because you guys essentially were in a fire. You were in a fire, and then you kind of got to the edge of the fire, and then I guess some fire fell out of the sky on top of you.
No more fire.
Yeah, please.
Well, that's up to you guys, I would say, because after a whirlwind and exhausting few days, as you've already kind of alluded to, in the ghost city of Narhasar, the former capital of the Pentarchy, where many adventures were had with Far-Eye Chaturanga Grumbingle, you found some interesting information. The Far-Eye was able to provide you with a couple of kind of sketchy ideas about how to better protect the city of Agmar, but also was able to lead you into one of the most secure places in all, maybe all the world, which was Celestia Dreamweaver's bedroom. Where you guys found the first major object of focus that was created in, like, centuries. You guys were able to escape before sun fell once again on the city. There was some discussions to be had in terms of what direction you guys wanted to go. Are you heading back to Agmar for a resupply, to update people, to see kind of what information's been gathered since you've been gone? Were you going to head straight to the Shattered Abyss, the other most deadly part of this continent, just to see what was there, see what Celestia Dreamweaver wanted you guys to learn about, to discover, to, I don't know, like, gilder your way around and do stuff? Now there's like a third option, I suppose. Because the shepherd wants to meet. And the shepherd has Junior. And that is where we'll pick up
Before anyone has a chance to speak, Val will cover the stone that fell and ask one of the Craigs to put it in the engine room where it's loudest on the ship.
What are you covering it with? A little blanket? Throw a little blanket over it.
Yeah, little blanket. Something so it's fully covered. I don't think that's how scrying works, but I don't know.
We're not taking any. We're taking every precaution.
Val can...
No chance.
You didn't specify you guys have any lead-lined treasure chests or anything like that either, so little blanket, I think, is the next closest thing.
Kaskrin's like, yeah, this is for sure how scrying stones work. Val's taking the right precautions, covering up this stone with a blanket and moving it somewhere else. She's got this. And Kaskrin, too, had... Like, there was that moment of... tension, like as we were leaving the Deadlands, it's like you hold your breath until you know you've crossed the finish line. We got to that point. Kaskrin let his guard down for a second. The stone crashed, and now here we are. And it's like, all right, we're back in it, guys. Yeah,
right. And we're back.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing is this is Kaskrin's fault.
I shouldn't have turned around. I shouldn't have
hypervigilance always.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Catherine's, going to turn to Val as she's, like, making these orders and says, like, is that going to be enough? Do you think they can still hear us?
I don't know, but I am exhausted, so that's my best guess right now.
Captain Livingstone walks up also and is like, what is that thing? Is it going to be a danger?
I believe it's a sending stone, so we could reply with the stone, so I want to make sure the engine noise is covering up any conversation it might pick up. So that's where I had Joe take it.
Should we leave guards? We get the bones over there?
I do not want the bones anywhere near that, actually.
He kind of squints at you in a way that is not understanding, but understanding enough.
The shepherd is the one who sent that stone and has it out for any member of the Lastian Legion.
All right, I'll get two of my best Joes on it. Admiral Captain, should I bring her to a halt?
And Checkers is just standing on the bow, just stroking his little froggy chin. Well.
I'm sorry, frogs, we don't have a chin.
That's why he said little froggy chin.
So we meet again at last.
Is that to the shepherd or to Junior?
That's to the situation.
Oh, yeah.
As he ponders
the white whale.
Yeah, the series of events that have led the Golden Tree to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have not heard the name of the shepherd in quite some time.
No.
In fact, the last time we heard about the shepherd, they were pretending to be someone else.
Yeah.
They were Val's new best friend.
Val's best
Amber
friend.
Thunderwalker.
Thunderwalker, yes. And little did we know that we would soon be betrayed by one of our own.
Well, that wasn't... Their goal wasn't you guys.
Mm.
They just had, mind-controlled ravens and big, kind of celestial construct other first ones.
All in all, pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, but, they weren't gunning for you. They liked you.
But now they have Checker's beloved companion, Junior, through no fault of Checker's own, I will add.
It's also worth remembering, also killed the fortunate.
Yeah, well, yeah. That is a bummer. That's true, too.
For context.
Yeah. So, as Captain Livingstone is asking, where should we be going? What's our next destination? Checkers is thinking about our turbulent history with the shepherd. Stay the course for now. We make for Agmar.
Aye. He goes back over to the wheel, kind of every once in a while glancing over his shoulder at whatever you guys are talking about.
Checkers, I know you tried to re-summon Junior a few times. There was one time you got pretty close, right?
Yes, and I always thought it was because we were in Narhasser, but now I know the truth. The evil truth.
I want to know how the shepherd was able to find us. How could they drop this stone with such accuracy? And Kaskrin is like, he's got the telescope now and is like trying to look up at the sky and see like, are they up there somewhere?
So as you recall, there was a large shadow flying across the sun a moment before the stone was dropped in a way that, you know, using battle trigonometry, seems like maybe there's something up there.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether it's what it is impossible to say.
And with the sending stone firmly away from the deck of the ship, Checkers is going to call out to his crew. All right, everyone, gather up. I know what we have to do.
You mean you have an opinion about what we have to do and would like to voice it to the group for a vote? Great. I'm here to listen to that.
I think being the chosen's gone to his head, self.
I don't think it's just being the chosen.
No, I'm sure he was about to say was that he knows what to do next is to discuss options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Checkers has not been listening to any of us.
He's just been peering at the bow of the ship.
Just looking off into the distance wistfully. The shepherd has thrown down the gauntlet, made the first move. I know anything we do from now on will be dangerous for all of us. And I simply can't put my crew at risk to save one sailor. So here's what's going to happen. I'll go off in search of Junior alone, by myself, and bring him back to the crew, into our waiting arms.
At this point, Val goes up and slaps Checkers across the face.
Ow! Ow, my head.
Checkers?
Yes?
Stop with the voice.
Okay.
You are not going to meet the shepherd alone.
Okay.
You are welcome to come up with other options. And we all are here to listen.
As much as I appreciate the sentiment, Checkers, we are a team. And I know how much missing Junior means to you. So I think there are more than one reason to go and save them. Yes, we could maybe find Junior, but we also can't have the shepherd looming over us if we're going to try and take down an ultra-giant. So I would like to at least talk with them, hear them out, make sure that they won't stop our plan, or try to take them down before they can ambush us. It's clear they know where we are, what we can do.
They might not know everything.
And Selv will gesture towards the Groma.
Would Val know the particulars of sending stones? Of like, do you have to intentionally be speaking into it? Does it catch all of the noise around you? Can it pick up like other things?
I would say you can give me an Arcana roll to get a little bit more information. Otherwise, then you would have to identify it.
Well, Val is exhausted, so 9.
Hard to say.
But I mean, if anything's gonna be a trap, this is gonna be it, right? They're asking us to go to some unspecified location with the promise of returning Junior. For all we know, Junior's fine. He's having a great time.
He wants to be there.
He loves being evil, actually.
Yeah.
I've been the good angel on his shoulder all these years.
Mm-hmm. What if this is exactly what the shepherd wants from us? They sent the Ultra Giant. They're the one who released it. And right now, we're actively getting in their way. This would be an easy way to take all of us out.
I think we've been going under the assumption that we are at the shepherd's whim. We would meet them where they want to meet. But we're headed to Agmar, the place of our power. Maybe one of our conditions is we demand they meet us there.
My initial thought is I want them nowhere near Agmar. Ever.
That's fair. But I think they could go there at any time they wanted anyway. Perhaps this way, at least we have the barriers, we have the guard, we have reinforcements, should anything happen.
Lorana Moonglove met us outside the city. and we welcomed her in. But that might be more for vampiric reasons, now that I think about it.
No way to know. Could be all of the above, too. Yeah. Like, it might not be mutually exclusive.
Sleepy.
My proposal is we still have several days to get back to Agmar, and we need to sleep. Maybe we get some rest and then pick up this discussion tomorrow morning with identifying the Groma and, if necessary, identifying that stone.
So is the plan silence for the time being and head towards Agmar?
For now, yeah.
Yeah, for at least one day. We want to fly to Agmar. We want to get some rest on the way. And then I think in like 12 to 24 hours, we'll get the stone, identify the Groma, identify the stone, and then potentially respond.
Admiral. Excuse me, Admiral Captain.
Yes, sir. Captain.
Your orders.
We make straight for Agmar, and we resupply there. Val, if you could let them know that we're coming home, that'd be great. Thanks.
Aye, Captain. We're headed back to the city, everyone. Let's go, boys. And scurrying of the crew. And so, the Sky Stalker continues its journey. As we've discussed, your characters are still certainly pretty run down, even if you've had several full nights of rest. So, what are you doing with the rest of your day, knowing what is down in the engine room, knowing what is waiting for you somewhere, you know, on Rixia? And how does Checkers feel, knowing Junior is out there somewhere?
Checkers is feeling pretty antsy. He's feeling worried. You know, Junior hasn't been sitting in Checkers' hat for the longest time now, and now we have a good idea of where he is. And Checkers just want to say, screw it, let's go directly after Junior and see what happens. But he's going to channel all of his character growth that he's collected over the last couple hundred episodes and take a pause, see what other people think, come up with a plan, right?
Yeah, it's been 30-some episodes without Junior.
Literally an eternity in frog years.
At some point, Captain Livingstone kind of catches your attention, Checkers. He says,
pardon me for asking and pardon my ignorance, sir. There's always the two frogs. Sometimes I've seen a third frog. Am I to understand there's a fourth frog normally?
And Checkers has just been standing on the bow of the ship, staring off
leg,
into the distance.
Leg up, Captain Morgan pose. Right.
And kind of turned away from Captain Livingstone, he wipes a single tear from his eye. Yes, my beloved friend, my stalwart companion, Junior. You never met him, but he was truly the best of us.
And he nods, his beautiful beard blowing in the wind.
Zah. Yes, I've found such relationships to be very rewarding, especially in troubling times. Looks up at Simone, who is still up in the crow's nest around the Seeker.
And while Checkers does not particularly care for Simone,
no.
In this moment, he understands what Captain Livingstone maybe is trying to do and maybe gains a little bit of respect for Simone for sticking with Captain Livingstone for all these years, I assume.
he actually gives a little complicated whistle that sounds like a more musical and higher-pitched foghorn. And dutifully, Simone skitters down the pole, down the mast, excuse me. Got to use boat terms. And just comes to sit at attention next to him.
And I think Checkers takes this opportunity to turn around and reveal what he was actually doing this whole time, which was drawing a little crayon drawing in a sketchbook of Junior. But he turns around and sees Captain Livingstone and Simone sitting at attention and just goes, "Stay right there for a second," as he begins scribbling on his little crayon drawing mat.
Very good. What's everyone else doing the rest of their day here on the ship before zonking out?
Kaskrin's feeling a little paranoid. It's having a little bit of a hard time settling down.
I will say, I don't think you ever really found what was circling over you.
Yeah, and he was looking for a little bit. But part of it is, like, as we're going back, he can't shake the feeling that, you know, one, we're being followed, but also in the same vein, we had a hard time getting here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were being chased by magical clouds.
And, our first ones.
Yeah, first ones, and run into the ground, into a cave system, and had to come back. And so getting here was not easy. And it seems like the shepherd is intent on not making our retreat back to the city easy either. And so, yeah, he's in the same... He's like a little antsy. He's got like a little nervous energy. He's like hanging out with the Van Brace of Van Bros he got. Trying to channel that good St. Thixius energy. But
what would St. Thixius do in this moment?
Maybe I'll ask ourselves that more.
Something.
Yeah.
That's true. Could get some nervous energy up.
Yeah. That's what he's up to.
Yeah.
Selv's got a lot of stuff kind of bouncing around in his noggin about kind of what just happened and what we just been through. So he's going to make his way down to the cargo hold where we have all of those kind of boxes and barrels and supplies and just meditate for a little bit and try to relax his mind, relax his body, and prepare himself for what quite possibly could be 12 to 14 hours of sleep.
Approximately 2 hours into your meditation. Oh, Master Aslan. I'm sorry. Are you doing something? Should I be here? Should I not be here? You look up. The burden is there. There was just this corner. It seemed like there was some optimization on stacking that I was kind of interested in trying out. Should I leave? Do you want me here? Would that be nice even, or like really not, or?
I would be very happy if you would organize as you see fit. Where will you be doing that?
I've been really kind of looking at the whole layout of the hold, and I think that some of it could actually be maybe shifted in some interesting ways, kind of downstream, upstream. That's how I like to refer to it, just kind of organize things in my mind. So I think I would start there, but, you know, you move one thing and then one thing leads to another. And then suddenly I'm lifting box 12B and putting that over in beta section. And he will continue talking as always, of course.
Selv will kind of put his hand up, say...
I believe that the cargo hold could use some more optimization and reorganization. However, the challenge I'm going to propose to you is to organize the best way you can around me.
And Selv kind of moves off to one end of the cargo hold and just kind of sits down cross-legged on the floor and again kind of assumes his meditative position. And then before he actually starts in again on meditating, he says,
"And begin."
A cacophony of, you know, chainsaw sounds, clanging, etc., etc., happen. And the burden falls silent. And after a few minutes, sorry, Mr. Aslan. I don't mean to interrupt. You don't need to like open your eyes or do whatever works for whatever you're doing. I had a question. So the stone that fell out of the sky, the voice that came out of it, was that the mortal that ended the Fortunate's watch?
So at that, Selv's shoulders kind of just like slump down just a little bit, and he blinks his eyes open.
I'm sorry to say that, yes, That was the shepherd.
All right. Thank you for telling me. Actually, do open your eyes. I wanted to get your opinion on something.
Okay. Selves kind of has his eyes back open.
You are sitting on top of a pyramid of boxes. You nice. Do not recall being moved. There are pillars of boxes on either side of you. He has even managed to find some potted plants with long vines that are kind of like going down the columns into nice. A nice little pedestal that is like... and so do you think that this is high enough? Or is it too high? Like if it's a turbulence kind of situation, do you think you'd hit your head? Or like I was wondering, is it like grand enough? Is it too grand? Are you like more of a...
Self kind of like looks around and then gives kind of like a toothy smile and just says,
I'd say this is pretty perfect.
Great.
Nice job.
All right, I have some plans for the pagoda over here. If you could close your eyes, I think I maybe work better not being perceived.
I've met many people that work better when not being perceived.
Clang, 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 bash, 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 bash.
Self will close his eyes.
You're going to like wake up on a new ship or something. Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the Midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
And finally, for the first time in maybe a week, close to a week, the Golden Tree Guild falls asleep and wakes up feeling a little better.
Wow. The next day. What a new experience.
Now, I think that is removes one level of exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have one level of exhaustion. You remember all the rules, the speeds and the DCs and the whatevers. A new day dawns. You are a little closer to the city of Agmar. And now what?
Val, check out the cool stick.
Val will check out the cool stick. And for the cool stick, she'll use the charge of the liminal looking glass to cast Identify. And we'll identify cool stick.
So this is an interesting case. Because this is an undiscovered object of focus. Object of focus. Multiple focuses. That's what I'm going to say. It's focuses.
I would say objects of focus.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, exactly. Attorneys general. Multiple objects of focus. They are strongly tied to some sort of event, especially one with a lot of meaning, significance, mortal emotion. They also, you know, have very lofty titles associated with them. The Shroud of Resurrection, of course, being Celestia Dreamweavers. But this one don't have a name. And you guys, as discoverers, especially as you kind of learn about it and kind of learn the context of it, I will say, get to name it.
Hey.
But know that this will be a name remembered potentially.
Oh, we know.
A lot for a long time.
I'm wondering if Val doesn't tell them. Val is really wondering if she's like, oh, I can't identify. Oh, it doesn't have a name. Do I give it a name?
Before? You guys, you'll never believe the name
that
I found. So, this item, you are not attuned to it at this point. Which, as you guys know, is really kind of the way to unlock the powers of an object of focus they're usually not really pick up and play for the most part. Mm-hmm. They have to, much like they are created with meaning, there has to be some amount of meaning and connection between it and the wielder. So one identify doesn't get you tons of information, but certainly it gives you a little bit. One, this was, of course, as you already surmised, at the heart of the kind of resurrecting Narhasser and illusory, undead, whatever strangeness was happening. Mm-hmm. You believe that it also has some sort of strong ties to, I guess, an urban landscape. So there, whatever greater powers that this thing holds, it probably has something to do with cities and the people in them. That's kind of the inklings that you get at this point. But you do know, we'll say, the first of its major abilities for someone who is attuned to it. Once a day, without using a spell slot, you can cast the fourth level illusion spell Hallucinatory Terrain, which is a 10-minute cast time, has a 300-foot range. The target is a 150-foot cube in range, and it lasts 24 hours. You can make natural terrain in a 150-foot cube in range look, sound, and smell like some sort of other natural terrain. Thus, open fields or a road can be made to resemble a swamp, hill, crevasse, or some other difficult or impassable terrain, etc., etc., etc. Except this has a corollary that if you are changing an urban environment, it is a 200-foot cube Ooh. That you can change.
Interesting. Thou will relay what it does. And just, like, not mention that it doesn't have a name. Nah, she'll tell them.
I mean, this is a big deal. We get to name an object of focus. We're the first ones to find it.
I don't think that's what we should...
We can call it whatever we want.
I think we should continue to learn more about this. I would like to attune to it to continue to learn about it.
But as the first person to touch the object of focus in probably a billion years.
Ever.
Ever.
You discovered it, as a reminder.
I feel like I should get to name it.
Hey, you might have touched it, but I saw it first.
I don't think that's... Is that true? I don't think that's true. I think Checkers saw it and then went
and touched it. But I dreamt about it first, as a chosen of Celestia Dreamweaver.
Well, I've seen more of these.
What are some other names of objects of focus?
Of course, there was the Ring of the Bear, which is a little bit, you know, kind of straightforward, but
and
that is...
the Shroud of Resurrection.
Shroud of Resurrection. What is the name of the object of focus that Checkers is holding?
I think we said it's not an object of focus. I think
did we not?
Yeah, I
think we said...
You said it was a relic.
It's a relic. That's right.
Yeah, because it's like the... It's the net of...
Mantle of Still Waters. But yeah, it's the mantle.
There was a crown of...
I was going to say, Nazar the Black, member of the Pentarchy, wore the Crown of Strife. So it's that's the kind of a lot of the naming convention. It is blank of this, or it is the blank blank, that sort of thing. It's something evocative, something pretty short, but also something that kind of encapsulates not just its vibe, but the core of why it was created. Because again, the Shroud of Resurrection was created. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but I have the lore. The Shroud of Resurrection, for example, was created when a beloved princess died of a kingdom, and the whole kingdom mourned her so hard that she came back to life, essentially, and her death shroud became this extremely magical thing.
Can you remind me, the Agroma is meant to measure distances?
So it is a surveying tool, basically. So it is used to plot...
Like plumb lines.
Exactly. So ways to plot straight lines and grid systems. So big for constructing roads, laying out a city, walls, that sort of thing.
It's really like the one of the first ways to find square. Of like okay. You have a straight line horizontally, vertically where they intersect and things. We can also wait. We don't have to name it right now.
I need to name it. No, okay, we can move on.
So you think it does more than just that?
I know it does, but I'd have to attune to it and potentially use it. But given what I know of it now, it might have to wait till we get back to Agmar to fully know.
Forgot to mention, it has a pointy end at the bottom. I think I mentioned it last episode, so it can be used both as a, what's it? What's the word?
A yakuala?
Well, no, I mean, what's it when you have your spellcaster has a focus? Is it just focus? I wasn't sure because it was
an object of focus.
Uh-huh. But so it can be used as a spell casting focus, but also be used as a spear to stab people. Right. It's a little clattery and unwieldy.
Stick it into the ground.
Exactly. So they stick it into the ground and point it forward. So you can actually use it to stab people. It's just not like.
It's not a great
at it. It's not like a plus one spear, yeah. Even. It is a spear.
It's just a spear.
Well, you can make sure that you stab them and then they are lying, you know, at a
perpendicular to the city.
Yeah.
After Val has cast identify on the object of focus, she will go down to the engine room, pick up a rock with a blanket over it that the Joes have dutifully watched over.
Didn't sleep last night. No one relieved them. They just were watching the whole time.
Joes?
They take their job very seriously.
Please go to bed.
Yes, ma'am.
And Val will ritually cast identify on the stone sent by the shepherd.
So it is pretty much your basic sending stone, which is a wondrous, uncommon item.
Oh.
Sending stones come in pairs, with each stone carved to match the other, so the pairing is easily recognized. We will say this one has a frog on it.
Oh, that's sad.
Dagger to the heart.
While you touch one stone, you can cast sending from it. The target is the bearer of the other stone. If no creature bears the other stone, you know that fact as soon as you send it and you don't cast the spell. This one is a more powerful version, where it is not limited by word count, as you already... I'll tell you this, I didn't count the words that the shepherd said, and I think it was more than 30. And also, theoretically, sending stones, you are not supposed to be able to use... It is more like one casting of sending each, but this one is an unlimited number of castings. So it's a souped-up sending stones plus.
So... This is a way to freely communicate with the shepherd.
But notably, does not involve any scrying, any location tracking, anything like that. It is just sending.
In theory, they could locate the object and be tracking us.
True, but yeah, that's true. But I don't remember how exact that is.
Right, and they already know where we are, so it's not like...
I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, they know where
you're
we're
all worried about magical surveillance, and I'm telling you that it's technically possible.
Fair.
And we can use this to freely communicate with the shepherd. Would Val have to be the one to cast the sending, or is it just anyone holding the stone?
Whoever is holding the stone.
Okay. So what would we tell the shepherd?
The crew has suspiciously all found themselves above deck doing busy work, just around earshot, curious maybe about the decision ahead.
I still think we should head back to Agmar, restock, resupply, give them the knowledge we've learned, and then meet the shepherd.
Can we tell them that? Like, say, like, hey, we're going to go back to Agmar. We'll meet you in 3 days.
We can tell them anything. I just think I want...
Yeah, that's fair.
...to know what we all want to do, especially you checkers. Mm-hmm. Like, I apologize for my reaction yesterday, but I didn't... I'm learning about myself that I don't do well with exhaustion as somebody who doesn't technically, like, dream, but, like, really does need sleep. So...
And Checkers walks up to the group with a big old red face mark on his cheek.
Colored in by crayon.
Val doesn't have the strength to leave that kind of...
Why is it webbed? I don't know.
And why is it on the cheek she didn't slap?
She slapped you so hard it went through into the other chest.
I think that's a good idea, Val.
So how about this? We message the shepherd back saying, we are interested in speaking. We will contact you when we are ready with a time and place. And that's it. Also, P.S. We love Junior and tell him that.
That's perfect.
We all gather around the sending stone in Val's hand, squeezed into the engine room with the fire elemental slowly humming along, and Val will message the shepherd.
Less than a minute later, a voice rings out clearly over the sounds of fire, steam, bubbling, etc. And the shepherd says, "That is a bit of a pity, and admittedly disappointing, but ultimately I'm glad to hear you're interested in speaking." Beyond Junior, who I assure you is very comfortable, but I'm sure would like to be back with you all soon, I have many gifts to offer. Offered peacefully, offered so that a group of heroes may understand what's happening, why, and when. And in a show of good faith, beyond promising that I will be where you want me, when you want me, I will answer the final of those questions. I, my allies, and the Ultra Giant will be coming to the city of Agmar in 1 month. I look forward, truly, to seeing the Golden Tree once more. The glowing arcane power of the silhouetted frog goes dim. And that is where we'll end this week's episode. See you all next time. Clock's ticking.
Bye. It's really like the one of the first ways to find square of like okay. You have a or straight line horizontally, vertically where they intersect and things.
Okay. What about something like the city's measure or like Agmar's measure?
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Square maker.
Or rectangle, because not all.
Quadrilateral maker.
You can workshop it. We don't have to call it right this second.
The cubifier.
The checkers chroma.
We can also wait. We don't have to name it right now.
I need to name it.